You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, why some people succeed against all odds and you quit at the first sign of adversity. We'll learn how to get some grit in your step. Plus, learn how to play guitar like a rock star. We'll speak with a real-life guitar god who is actually willing to teach you. Let's meet the friends. Tolerant to a fault, it's Aaron Myers.
The Westboro Baptist Church is at it again. I'll tell you who they are protesting this time in just a bit.
Bubbling over with stories for you today, our guest co-host, it's Gonzo Greg Spillane.
Hey, you know, they say beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy, but turns out God may not actually want us to be happy.
And he can try to do the splits if you ask him to. It's Chris Martin.
The holiday season is officially over, and now this week marks the start of a season that's not nearly as cheerful.
We like to be cheerful. Don't like it when you bring bad news, Chris, but let's get things started. With you, Aaron, are you talking about that Westboro Baptist Church?
I am.
What are they up to now?
Well, you know, this is funny because it's actually an old story that's now becoming new again. I guess in October of 2013, the Portland Trail Blazers, they became the first NBA franchise to publicly support marriage equality. Well, now 15 months later, I guess the Westboro Baptist Church has heard about this, and they are now planning to protest outside of the Moda Center this Saturday. And here's what they said. The church says the Portland Trail Blazers punched the Lord Jesus Christ in the face.
They did. That's a technical foul.
That is what they said. And I'm looking at this thing with, we're talking about God with beer. Well, I think with basketball, God doesn't seem to be too upset because the Blazers, they have the second best record right now in the NBA. So
how about that?
You know, not being punished.
Where's
too much.
The, this Westboro Baptist Church, where are they from? What part of the sticks do, are they stationed? Do you know?
They are in Topeka, Kansas.
So it took some time to pack up the wagon and the mules and get all the way out to Portland?
Yes. They had to make sure the weather was okay first because it's been a cold in certain parts of the country.
They followed the trail that Lewis and Clark blazed across the mountains.
They have pretty stable financing, that group does.
Do they?
So they can put heaters in there?
They fly. They fly wherever they go. They're well organized.
They tap into the hater fund.
They do. They make sure to pick events that are watched by a lot of people that it's going to, you know, draw a large crowd so they get plenty of attention. They know what they're doing.
Right.
They could at least say, like, you know, get creative with it and say instead of punched in the face, it was like they, you know, dunked.
What I'm surprised about is that all the places they show up, and some places where, you know, there's some pretty tough characters who are at some of these funerals, you know, military funerals, sometimes biker funerals. They showed up for the heavy metal funeral for Ronnie James Dio, and a bunch of metalheads said if those guys get anywhere near this thing, they were going to just beat the bejesus out of those guys.
Right.
Which I think they've got some bejesus in them.
The bejesus.
Yeah, I don't think they've got much Jesus in them, but they got some bejesus. I'm surprised they haven't been, taken down. So anyway, we'll see what happens at this one. It's almost old news. But what is... strange is that we've been talking about the Koreas, North and South, more than just about any other country for the last 4 or 5 months. And there's something that we found bubbling under in South Korea that perhaps is the most exciting story yet.
Yes, I think so, at least for my animal crazy ways. A dozen dogs that were actually bred for meat in South Korea, well, they were just rescued and taken to Washington to be adopted. And I guess there were 23 in total that are part of a campaign to combat the eating of dog meat in East Asia.
Can we just stop for a second and say, did we just confirm that even though everybody's been saying forever that the South Koreans and North Koreans and maybe the Filipinos, not sure, eat dog meat, but we've never seen any confirmation of that. Have you just confirmed that for us?
I'm going to say yes. And they got the man who actually was breeding those dogs to, they compensated him, and they've gotten him to, instead of breed dogs for meat, to grow blueberries.
Oh, blueberries.
Yes. There's a switch.
That's a superfood.
They're tasty.
Aren't they?
Yeah, not tasty in the way that dog meat is, but who would know? Why can't they be more like Americans and not eat cute animals?
But you know, I don't know. Cows are kind of cute too, so I think.
Well, now wait a minute. See, now we're changing the standards, and it's going to make it tough to get a burger. Now that's not right.
I gotta know how cute they were, or if there's a specific type of dog breed that they use for food, you know? Is it a German Shepherd? Is it a poodle?
I think they go to that ugly dog contest that we hold every year, and they get the runners-up.
No, these are cute. There's pictures, and they're all very cute. One looks like a little polar bear.
Yeah, so that's the rule, right? Don't eat cute animals.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay, now off to, we have a couple of stories here. First with you, Aaron, that involves beer and some controversy over the name of a particular craft brew, is that right?
Yes, there's a Connecticut brewery, that's a hard word for me to say properly. They're apologizing to India after using Gandhi's likeness on one of their beers. And
what's the matter with that? That's a tribute, isn't it?
Well, it's called Gandhi Bot, and he looks like a robot. So
I
don't
robot
think
Gandhi.
Yes.
Now that's disrespectful. It's funny, even, but it's disrespectful.
In the picture, he even looks like he's doing the robot dance. So that just adds to it. But they apologized on Facebook and said it wasn't meant
was
to
Was there
be
public
mean.
Outrage?
Yes.
And did it go viral and all of that?
A little bit. And they said it was meant to pay homage to Gandhi, but people didn't take it that way.
No, apparently not.
I hope this doesn't put
Ben Kingsley somewhere is kicking back with a six-pack right now.
Sure he is.
He's got a lifetime supply, probably.
You ever see Ben Kingsley do the robot?
No, but I want to.
Yeah.
He probably will after a six-pack.
Yeah. All right, Greg, so you have just to bounce off of this.
I do have beer news, yeah. And speaking of craft brews, and this is where this comes from, is that apparently there's a woman in San Diego that's, making a living. She's an attorney, and she calls herself the craft beer attorney because what's happening is so many people are getting into craft brewing that you come up with what you think is the perfect name for your craft brew, and you put it out there, and you go out, and then you find out somebody across the country has exactly the same name. So now there's legal battles breaking out over, you know, well, that's the name of my beer, man. It's kind of like being in a rock band when you come up with what you think is the perfect name for your band. And you
Every other house down the block, somebody's got craft brew in their basement, in their garage or something like that, right? So if I come up with Dog Lick Beer.
Right, exactly.
I call the craft brew attorney lady, and she says, sorry, there's a Dog Lick Beer in South Dakota.
Right, or she'll get it straightened out for you or negotiate terms or whatever. Sometimes they find if you don't distribute in that part of the country, you can coexist or what have you. But,
yeah,
I think we can probably go into business coming up with
sure we could. And she might say, well, you know, canine saliva is still available.
Angry Pants Weasel, I think, would be.
Angry Pants Weasel.
Sure, Leg Humper Stout, I think, would be popular.
Yeah.
And since we're talking about craft beer, my favorite is Pretentious A-Hole Ale.
Yeah.
So,
are these all yours?
I'm brewing these right now. You're brewing up an ale.
Okay.
How about Buddha Brew? You think that would stir up some controversy?
Probably.
Well, anything to get attention, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus Juice, maybe that one.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I think Michael Jackson's estate would get a penny off of that every time you print
a
label.
Put his picture on the label, you'll be good.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. Hey, up next, you probably had no idea that January was such a sad, sad month when it comes to love and marriage. And Chris is going to split us all apart with his news next here on the program on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, we're back, and we're glad you're here. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, our first program of the new year. Can you believe it? Is it really? We haven't been on in 2015 yet until just now. All right, everybody's on the radio shaking their heads. Yes,
we're
stunned. Actually,
yes,
feels good.
Yeah, stunned head shaking.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you for being demonstrative. All right, Chris, let's go.
The hangover, man.
Exactly, Chris. It's January, and it must be the season for love.
Actually, it's a season for divorce, Phil.
It is.
And I'd like to say to all you here in the studio, happy divorce day.
Aww.
Hooray!
January is now actually considered divorce month.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a huge surge in divorce filing starting yesterday after the first of the year, you know, the first week after the new year. So the holiday season is not a good time to break up with somebody, apparently.
Get through the holidays.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
Supposed to be rude. You know
what? What's supposed to be rude? You're supposed to be rude to your friends.
Well, if you break up during the holidays, you know, then that's sort of rude. You know,
yeah,
it's
I suppose
not the time to do it. Plus, if there's kids involved and all that,
I just got served my papers on New Year's Eve. What are you talking about?
Get out
you
of here.
What?
Yeah, true story.
This is not your first time.
No, I'm a pro at this point.
Well, you sound happy about it.
I'm pretty happy. It was New Year's Eve. Early, like afternoon, you know, New Year's Eve, and you know, bing bong, like nobody comes here. Open
that's
the door.
Brutal.
And then, yeah, hey, you've been served. I'm like,
now you knew these papers were coming, right, Greg?
No, I didn't.
I mean, I had no idea. It hits you as a surprise on New Year's Eve.
It was in the process, yeah, but I didn't expect to get served on New Year's Eve.
That's why they did it, yeah.
So your stuff has been split in half now three times and going on four times. And so what does that mean?
That means I'm down half of my stuff.
So you'll have a 16th of your stuff left.
That's a 16th? Yeah, I think that might be a 32nd even.
Really?
I don't do math. But
considering the kind of money the ladies spend, you may still be ahead.
Could be very well.
Yeah. Women can be bad, yes, with that.
But I think after four, I'm out. I'm going to tap out.
Oh, you can't give up now.
No, Johnny Carson only went four times.
Yeah,
so
but
I'm not getting
King,
on that ride again.
You can still, you know, follow in his footsteps.
Yeah. Is the caller there? Mm-hmm. Hello, walla walla.
Here's a little note. Maybe that you need to, now that you're going to have to find your fifth. you remember Amelia Earhart. She used to fly an airplane.
Sure. Yeah.
And she was in an open marriage where both she and her husband could have sex with other people. And it was her idea, by the way, because she considered marriage, quote, foolish. And faithfulness, quote, medieval.
I wonder why she got married at all then.
Well,
that was her mantra.
Yeah, well, I guess that's just what you had to do.
Down with Amelia on that.
Yeah. Are you? Yeah. Maybe you can find yourself a fly girl.
Very progressive.
I think that there's a different connotation for that these days.
Or a hot stewardess, one or the other.
Yeah. Hot stewardess?
Yeah.
Don't we have stewardess stories today? Wait a minute, now that you mention it. Who had the stewardess story? I'm just looking through the list here.
Well, I think I brought that up.
Greg, it's yours. Why don't you take it?
Well, because, I mean, everybody says, you know, air travel ain't what it used to be, you know? Remember? Well, first of all, it used to be kind of fancy. You used to kind of have to dress up, right?
Yeah.
And you actually get silverware on a plane and stuff like that.
Who remembers that? I don't.
You could smoke a cigarette.
You could smoke a cigarette on an airplane. I know. Imagine. And stewardesses were stewardesses and not flight attendants and so forth. But there was another people getting out of hand on a flight story that came in a few days ago. Some people flying into the UK got apparently a little liquored up and got out of control. The flight was delayed, I guess, to begin with. So people were already in poor spirits. And then during the flight, these drunken people, I guess, began slapping the flight attendants on their backside, I believe.
Is that the clinical term for it?
That's the clinical term for what used to be, you know, standard practice with a stewardess, right? Hey, that's nice for the cocktail, eh?
Right. Boy, you remember those days, huh? I don't.
So, Yeah,
I think that's just how you say good game. Like, maybe they gave you a bag of peanuts, they had quick service, so it's just like,
they
caught
the bag when they threw it.
That's it. Good game.
Right. But here's the thing. I think it all comes down to the fact that the airline they were flying is called EasyJet.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think everybody gets a pass on
it. You get what you pay for in that case. You know, Aaron, the ladies, though, these days seem to be more, I don't know, I think the pendulum is swinging. The girly girl is back.
I think so. And it's starting young.
Is it?
It's starting very young. Apparently, spa days for little girls are growing in popularity to the point that 25% of spas cater to children under the age of 14. And they'll throw these spa parties for kids that can cost up to like $3,000. And, you know, critics are a little mixed. Some say, oh, it's great. It's stress relieving. But then there's others who say it's so beauty oriented. You know, you have 8-year-old girls getting makeup put on, and they're going to think that's okay to wear makeup and go to school like that. So, yeah, iffy. And expensive.
Yeah.
Wait, is stress relieving? What kind of stress do you have when you're eight?
That homework?
You're
little,
eight.
Little brothers? I'm not sure.
Please. The light bulb burned out in my Easy Bake. Oh, God. My
oh, see, so they don't use Easy Bakes anymore. This is all about, like, my iPad broke.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I can't play, whatever, Candy Crush anymore.
Yeah. Oh.
Everyone wants snow on Christmas. And then we immediately want it to go away. And for some reason, it doesn't work that way. Fingers crossed.
The Midwest. The Midwest is shocked and outraged, apparently, that it's winter.
Yeah.
If this is the time of year where it's great to call all your friends in the Midwest mm-hmm. and the East Coast and just dial and just go and hang up. That's how I spend my day. So, yeah, the news is reporting the wide outbreak of cold temperatures. Although I just looked at my weather oracle on my phone, and it looks like Detroit has it the worst because they have animated snow.
Animated snow.
Yeah, on my phone anyway. So.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Yeah. You know, and I'm going to tie your story in with the ladies because according to a new study, and this was published in the Daily Mail, women are about 50% more likely to get bummed out because of winter than men. And the study also found that women are 33% more likely than men to overeat during the winter mm-hmm. because the winter weather's making them sad.
I could see that.
And women have a harder time waking up in the morning in the winter than men.
So we're just depressing.
And 20% of men say that seasons never affect their mood, either positively or negatively. 15% of women say the same thing. So forget that stat. It's the other one. Women, you're having a hard time with mm-hmm. the weather.
I will tell you this. I eat a lot more macaroni and cheese this time of year than I do the rest of it.
Ah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, here's what I've noticed about women. They definitely don't do well in the cold. Women don't like cold.
Mm-mm.
They're cold, Mm-mm. a little bit more cold-blooded than men. I think men...
I think they're just angling for a hug there from your manly arms, Chris.
Well, that's fine. You don't have to angle too hard to get one of those from me.
You know, there's some dad news out there, Chris, if you can help us with this, because dad's always looking out for his daughter and the boys that she brings home. And what did this one dad do?
Yeah, and I don't know if you can blame dads for looking out for their daughters. That's what you're supposed to do, right, Phil? You're a
that's
daughter.
That's right. Yeah, I've only killed a couple. I mean, go ahead.
See,
yeah.
And that's the question. To what extent can you go to protect your daughter?
Murder.
There's a father in Reading, Pennsylvania that chopped off his daughter's boyfriend's dreadlocks with a knife.
I'm so glad you said dreadlocks.
Yeah.
That could have been much worse.
Thought that was going somewhere else for a second.
Yeah. He did not like this guy. He's been charged with aggravated assault and terroristic threats, but the father did not argue what happened. Police say he cooperated with the investigation and posted bail without a fight.
Wow.
Right? He's just a straightforward guy. He said, look, this was my daughter's friend. He was disrespectful. He was sneaking around my house. He shouldn't have been there. I didn't like him.
Yeah.
I think that just sounds like a haircut.
Right. Me too, but you know what? The effort that goes into growing those dreads. I mean, who knows? Do you count the rings on dreads to know how many years old they are?
Like a tree?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the length is not accurate because it's all bunched up, but you have to stop washing your hair, and you have to do that thing where you're spinning your hair in your hands in a spiral motion.
No, so I've got a friend who's got, he's going on 30 years of dreadlock growing that he hasn't done anything, you know.
Do you have to spray your hair with perfume then? Or
yeah, I'm on.
Yeah.
They've got that rug powder.
Take the whole Rastafarian angle too. That's a pretty horrible loss.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a religious thing. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do that. I mean, it would be like Bill Gates eating poo,
which
if you cut it off. I mean, that would be a sign of the end of the world, right?
You know, it's funny you bring that up because I don't know how many times you've sat in front of your Windows computer and said, "Oh, yeah, I know I have unused icons on my desktop," or "Oh, yes, I know you found a new device on the network."
Yeah.
Or you're looking at a blue screen talking about what an exception is. Mm-hmm. And how many times have you said, Bill Gates, go eat some poo?
Yeah.
But now apparently he does. The Bill Gates, the foundation that he's put together.
Which is a very good thing.
It's a great thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it would lead to Bill Gates actually eating poo, which if you take a glance at the internet today, you'll see him doing. He's financing through the Gates Foundation the Janneke Omniprocessor, which is a machine that turns sewer sludge into electricity, ash, and clean drinking water, which you will see Bill Gates enjoying a glass of.
From toilet to tap.
Yeah.
So they actually, rather than just the urine, they take the poo and the other sludge and all of that, and they turn it into drinking water?
Drinking water, yeah. You put poo in and you get water out. And the idea is, apart from being gross, yeah. Is that if you send this to places where they don't have access to plentiful, clean drinking water, this would be an amazing thing. So that's why he's doing it. But I think the rest of us can just take some glee in the fact that Bill Gates is putting poo in his mouth.
Yeah. Is there a nice bouquet to that tasty glass of water?
Probably. That's what
you think you'd start with, like desalination or something.
Yeah, right.
Isn't there plenty of that kind of water we can clean up?
Yeah, that's not the cleanest either.
Yeah, because the environmentalists have issues with the desalination. Desalination or desalinization? Which is it? There's two ways to say it, and one is correct and one is not. And I've lost track of which one is
Let's go with the wrong one. Yeah. That's what I usually err on the side of.
All right. Desaltification.
Yeah, create a new word.
There we go. First half hour of the year for Phil Hewlett and Friends has just rushed by. We have so much packed into the second half hour that you do not want to go away. In fact, let me ask you this question. Why do some people succeed despite enormous obstacles when others crumble at the slightest adversity? Are we talking about you on either side of the spectrum there? Up next, you will find out if you have the grit to succeed. And we'll learn right along with you, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have a website, philhewlettandfriends.com. Go to the show fun page and have some fun. There are things there that you will not see anywhere else. I can't make that promise or guarantee, but just the same, you should go look. And also figure out all the different ways that you could listen to this program, either live or on demand. And for those of you listening live, you're in for a lesson now. You wonder why some people can face all kinds of adversity and still succeed. When you run and hide at the first sign of an obstacle, there's some science behind success. Dr. Paul G. Stoltz is the author of the book Grit, The New Science of What It Takes to Persevere, Flourish, and Succeed. It's available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. And he, the doctor, joins us live now to pull us out of hiding. Dr. Stoltz, hello, thank you. What is grit?
Hi, how are you? Great to be with you. Thank you. Grit is really just what you think it is. It's that thing, that capacity to dig deep and do whatever it takes in order to relentlessly persevere your most important and worthy goals, especially to sacrifice, suffer, and struggle along the way to make it happen.
Yeah. All right. So the letters grit don't stand for something?
Oh, they do, definitely. You know, the old conversation about grit really was about just how much grit you got. And the new conversation about grit is really about G-R-I-T. It's about growth, resilience, instinct, and tenacity. And growth is really just about your ability to kind of think outside the situation and advance and improve yourself. Resilience, of course, is your ability to respond constructively to be strengthened and improved by adversity, ideally. And instinct is that thing that says, I have that gut-level instinct to be able to pursue the best goals in the most effective ways. And, of course, we all know the T, which is tenacity, which is just that relentless pursuit, that never-say-die factor that gets us across the finish line.
All right, so growth, resilience, instinct, tenacity. How do you measure grit in a person?
You know, there's two ways, really. I mean, the scientific way, we have an instrument called the grit gauge, and we actually provide that instrument in the book that just came out yesterday called Grit. And our corporate clients pay $200 a piece for this thing. But the reason we gave it in the book with a private link per book is so people can actually complete the grit gauge in about 5 or 6 minutes, get a full report and a full dashboard that shows how they score across all the dimensions. So that's the real way to gauge grit in, you know, for students, professionals, any entrepreneurs, homemakers, parents, anybody who wants to get a gauge of where am I now and what are my blind spots and what do I need to improve on and what are some initial ways to begin to do that. So that's number one. Number two is, you know, just ask yourself a question, which is really when I think about my most important goals, that one thing I'm dying to accomplish, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much grit am I showing? I mean, to what extent am I really digging deep and giving it my all to make it happen? And for most people, that number is pretty modest.
So you imply there are levels of grit that you can attain over time. Is that correct?
Oh, big time. I mean, it's not just about how much you have. It's also what we've discovered, especially with employers, is that they care every bit as much about quality as they do about quantity. So think about it. I mean, don't you know people who demonstrate dumb grit versus smart grit or bad grit versus good grit?
Well, what about faking your grit?
Oh, big time. You know, that's the one where it comes in this thing called robustness, which is how well do you hold up over time? I mean, cheap sandpaper wears out fast and good sandpaper lasts. And are people really any different?
I think we all know the old sales trick. When you walk into the room and you act like you suck all the life out of the room, all the energy, you control the energy, and then everybody is your pawn to do whatever you need them to do so you can get the sale. But a lot of that is just bluster and fake grit. But is it a means to an end, just the same?
Well, you know, it can be. We try to help people understand and demonstrate authentic grit. Grit over time is very hard to fake because usually grit is applied to long-term goals, you know, ones you really have to dig deep over time in order to make happen. It's hard to fake that. In the moment, fine. People can try to impress or influence people, but real grit is pretty authentic stuff.
Yeah, and speaking of goals, in your book, you write that people should gritify their goals. What do you mean by that?
You know, a lot of us take the easy way out. And, you know, you kind of either pay your dues now or later in life. And you got to decide yourself in life, do you want to be satisfied or do you want to be really fulfilled? I think the ultimate aspiration is to try to achieve something I call gratification, which is when you really dig deep and you take on something really worthy and noble, maybe even, and you dig deep, give it your all over a protracted period of time, maybe suffer and sacrifice along the way. And come out the other side, that deep sense of gratification that says, I did that, I lived that life, is really the highest aspiration of grit and what it's really all about.
Yeah, we're speaking with Dr. Paul Stoltz. He's the author of the book, Grit, the New Science of What It Takes to Persevere, Flourish, and Succeed. And is there one thing that you can leave us with today, one thing we can do today, right now, to increase our grit?
You know, I think the honest thing is, since grit is a situational choice, I like to use a tool I call the why try. And it's simply this. First, think about the single most important thing you're striving to accomplish. Number two, ask yourself on a scale 1 to 10, really, how strong is my why? You know, if it's a 10, that's one thing. If it's more of a 4, there's a problem. And third of all, how strong is my try? And if your why and try are out of alignment, if your why is stronger than your try, that's just a bunch of talk. And if your try outweighs your why, you're getting eaten alive. So then the final question is, what do I need to do to realign and optimize my why and my try? And if we live life that way, where we're really clear on and optimize our why and our try, then we demonstrate some of our greatest grit. That's just a quick in the moment thing that we can do that doesn't even tap the sort of scientifically grounded tools we offer up in the book called Grit. So that people can apply this in all facets of their lives.
Yep. Sounds like a necessary book for everybody who wants to succeed in life and business. Dr. Paul Stoltz, thank you very much for giving us just a thumbnail of this. And we encourage everybody to go to the store at philhewlettandfriends.com and order the book, Grit, the New Science of What It Takes to Persevere, Flourish, and Succeed. Thank you, Dr. Stoltz.
Thank you. Pleasure being with you.
Yeah. Pleasure to have you. All right. There you go. See, now we're helping you. Don't say we never did anything. It's a new year. We're already trying to help you succeed. How are you doing with your New Year's resolutions, guys? Did you make any?
So far, I'm doing all right. I made a resolution to exercise my whys and work out my tries so I can realize and optimize my grit.
Wow.
That's my first
no kidding
New Year's resolution. And so far, I'm doing all right.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, and how about you, Aaron?
I didn't really make any New Year's resolutions this year.
Yeah. Greg, how about you?
Get married. That'd be a good one.
No, maybe not. Maybe not. And I think the second year in a row that I didn't make a resolution, because 3 years ago I made a resolution to just be a kinder, more patient person, and it's been a 3-year project. And what? I think I'm doing okay with it. I haven't given up on that. I don't think I ever will give up on that. So, and I think a lot comes to you when you try to be kinder and more patient with people. At least that's what I've learned from trying to do that.
People like
quick.
That.
Everybody yeah. start poking Phil on the side.
I know. Let's see how patient he is.
I can count to about seven.
Not touching you.
One of these days I'll get to 10. Oh, man. All right. Hey, up next, and I think, and it's going to be a matter of crossing your fingers at this point, from what I understand, but do you play a little guitar? Would you like to learn how to play the guitar? How about learning rock guitar from a rock god? Would you like to learn how to play like this? Well, that's just a walk in the park for the rock guitar teacher we're going to speak to. I believe we're going to speak to him on the program when we return here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, we're going to have some fun, musically speaking, here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. Our next guest takes me back to my early days on the radio as a heavy metal music DJ on Pure Rock 105.5 KNAC in Long Beach, California. And one of my first interviews was with a young guy, a Guitar Institute of Technology grad, an absolute shredder in a new band at the time called Racer X. And later on, he was in a group you may recall, Mr. Big. And he's one of the premier guitarists in the world. Maybe you caught him on tour in 2007 on the G3 tour with fellow guitar gods Joe Satriani and Steve Vai. His name is Paul Gilbert, and he joins us live. Paul, a pleasure to speak with you for a second or third time, which I'll expand on in a moment. But hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. We've both survived the decades. It's a glorious thing.
It certainly is. I'll never forget when I interviewed you on KNAC back in the day. You brought your guitar and a small amp, and you blew me away with your playing. And I asked the stupid question, how do you do that? And using one word that provided so much clarity, do you remember what you said to answer me?
Orange juice?
No, it was not two words. It was one. You said practice.
Uh-huh.
And it said, okay, great. That I immediately knew I will never be able to play guitar, and perhaps we'll remedy that in a moment because we want to get to your online guitar lessons shortly. But I want to relive one KNAC story with you. Not only was I a DJ, but I was a sales guy, and I used to come up with all these ridiculously odd promotional ideas for my clients. And one of my clients was a NASCAR-style speedway in Saugus, California. Do you remember this?
I think I do. Some kind of demolition derby or something?
Yeah, it ended up being like that. Yeah. I convinced you and your bandmates in Racer X, the members of another famous hard rock metal band, Armored Saint, and a couple of other bands, some glam rock bands, to pick a member of their band, get into a stock car, and race three or four laps on the oval. And Paul, there was no way you were getting behind the wheel, right?
No, I didn't have enough practice.
Yeah, exactly. And so, if I recall accurately, the drummer for Armored Saint ended up winning the race, but he also scraped the guardrail with the car a bunch of times. And all the cars were borrowed from local racers, and there was some paperwork signed and something to do with fixing anything that broke. So it got a little ugly after the fact. You were removed from those conversations, Paul, of course, but it was cool just the same. It was fun to watch, and we packed the place full of metalheads, and that was great fun. Now, that story aside, let's fast forward to today. Tell me about ArtistWorks. This sounds great. What is it, and how did you come to be involved with it?
Well, it's an online music learning website that actually covers a lot of different styles of guitar, but also they do everything from, you know, classical violin or all kinds of different things. And on the rock teacher, Keith Wyatt, who's you're going to be talking to as soon as the blues teacher, and I've been doing it for about nearly 3 years. And of course, I've been teaching guitar in a variety of ways for a long time. You know, I'd give private lessons. I taught at GIT back in the 80s. I've made instructional DVDs. I've done guitar clinics. But this is really the best thing I've done. It's also the thing I put the most time and energy into. And it really allows me to listen to and get to know I call them students, but really they're just other players online. And so we really get to be friends with each other, that's the best thing, is I really get to know the people. It's not like I give a lesson and then I'm off to another city and forget everybody.
It's amazing to me that a guy of your stature is willing to give back. I don't know if you see that a lot, but it's just special to know that somebody of your stature and skill can sit down and teach somebody a couple of licks on the guitar. So when people go to this ArtistWorks website, artistworks.com, what do people do? What do they see when they log in? Do you teach them to shred? I mean, are you there live?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of free lessons, but it is a subscription. It's like, it's pretty cheap, though, like $1 a day, I think. And, you know, compared to, you know, if you took a private lesson with me, it'd be a lot cheaper than that. So it's a pretty good deal. And as soon as you get into the site, there's a full, like, video course that I've made that's ready to go. But the main thing is that the site operates with something called a video exchange, where as soon as you're into the site, anybody can send in a video of yourself playing, and I'll watch it and listen to it, and then I respond with a video of my own. Those are paired together, and those are put on the site, and for, of course, the person that I'm answering, but also anybody in the site can see it. So, you know, conceivably, when I teach one person, I teach 1,000. And since I started the site, my own site, 3 years ago, I've done over 2,500 of these videos, which is a lot.
Man, and so it would take you a long time to get through 2,500 of those.
Well, fortunately, there's a search feature, so you can go in and find, you know, anything that you're looking for in the archives. But really, the thing that's best is that it's living and breathing. It's not just something that I did and then I'm on the site every day. You know, I'm listening to guitar players every day and really enjoying it. I mean, I'd never put in this much work if I didn't love it.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just another way to communicate with other musicians.
Sounds like if I do this, Paul Gilbert, I would have to practice.
I think I might have changed my philosophy a little bit, because practicing has the connotation that it's not enjoyable. And looking at my own playing over the years, I realized that the thing allowed me to, quote, practice, is that I loved it so much, and I loved the sound of it, and I loved, you know, playing songs. And so, you know, there are people that have the practicing mindset, and they, you know, they get some, you know, good feelings about all the work that they did. But I'd rather have it be fun. So
yeah.
I try to make it like that as much as possible.
Right. And we played some of your licks before when we took the break, and it sounds like technical stuff. It can be technical, some of the arpeggios and solos that you do. And maybe I just want to learn a little blues guitar, you know, 3-4 chords and a turn every here and there. And you indicated that you have a guy on the line with you as well who teaches the blues guitar, and I believe his name is Keith Wyatt. And Keith, are you there? Are you dialed in?
It would be me, yeah.
Well, that's good. So I could, you know, as opposed to becoming a rock metal guitar god who shreds on stage, and I just want to sit and impress my friends and play a little blues, you're the guy, right?
Well, I can certainly help you in that direction, although, as Paul and I agree, the two worlds are more alike than they are different, and it's just a matter of kind of, you know, picking and choosing your path through music. And certainly blues is a path that a lot of people start with, and at the same time one people come to after a number of years and find that it's just a beautiful thing. So, yeah, I'm happy to be able to provide my experience.
Well, that's good. So how many lessons, Keith, before I become proficient enough to sit down and play a couple of blues songs for my friends?
Well, the way I look at blues is it's kind of like learning chess. You can learn how to make the moves in an afternoon, and then you spend the rest of your life trying to figure out how to play the game, you know? So, it's a matter of kind of your own interest level and how much time you have to devote to it. And like any skill, you know, you got to do it a number of times to make it automatic and make it feel like you're playing music rather than kind of watching your fingers do mechanical tricks. But I would say you can learn to play a blues very quickly. I mean, starting from scratch in a matter of days if you devote yourself to it. But then it just goes on forever.
Right. Well, Keith, I think at least for our guest co-host today, Gonzo Greg Spillane, who was served his fourth set of divorce papers on New Year's Eve, probably has the mindset to sing and write a couple of good lyrics for the blues. Greg, do you play guitar at all?
No, my dad is a fairly decent blues player, though. So,
maybe it's about time you looked at your life and picked up a guitar.
Start with, you know, da na 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 na, and then you make the statement, right?
Yeah.
There's something bad happened. Then you restate the bad thing that happened.
Yeah.
And then you say what you're going to do or what is going to happen next. I believe is the framework for most blues.
Right, right. Somebody's going to drink or die, more or less.
Outcomes, although you can turn it in a more positive direction should you choose.
Oh, blues with a positive direction. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Okay, so give us, give us a thumbnail now. Again, the website is artistworks.com. You say you get a couple of free lessons in there for signing up, but then it works out to like 50 or 60 bucks a month. Is that it?
Even less.
Oh, less than that, yeah.
Oh, like half that, like 30 bucks a month?
Yeah, and actually, I think there's things where if you sign up for a longer period of time, it's even discounted. So, if I was starting it, I'd probably do a short time just to check it out. And then once I'm addicted to the music and the process of it, you know, then you can get on for longer. But there's all the details are on the site.
Yeah, and music is really therapeutic, regardless of your age. You learn how to play an instrument. You sit down, you spend some time with your instrument, and play some music just for yourself, by yourself. It does you a whole lot of good, and you might create something wonderful as well. Keith Wyatt and Paul Gilbert, what a thrill to speak with you both on our first show of the new year. And we're going to send everybody to artistworks.com. We'll add it to our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Thank you, gentlemen, and rock on and blues it up, baby.
Thank you. Thank you, too.
Is that what the kids say?
All
right. Blues it up, baby.
No, never. No one has ever said
no
that.
No one has ever said that?
Yeah, that was you, all you, Phil.
Okay, good. All right, that's it, thankfully, for hour one of the program. There's more to come, gladly, including there are new Girl Scout cookie flavors. Is service any better at a restaurant with a no-tipping policy? There's a question for you. And no longer is Las Vegas the number one travel destination. Believe it, it's true. Our travel guy joins us live to tell us where people are going. Those stories and more in our second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about most. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, our travel guy reveals which travel destination has unseated Las Vegas for the number one spot. Plus, Colorado is making serious adjustments now that people have been legally smoking pot for a few years. And there's an interesting new pot-related injury that has officials worried. We'll tell you about that. The friends are here, Aaron Myers, Gonzo Greg Spillane, and Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. We'll get things rolling once again. Aaron, with you, there's a little kid who's he's not well, but people are doing their best to make him feel well. His name is Anthony, and what are folks doing?
Yeah, it's very, very sweet. There's a guy, as you said, Anthony Lyons. He's 16 years old, and he lives in Arizona, and he was diagnosed with lymphoblastic leukemia last year. And I guess when he was going through his chemo treatments, they would have therapy dogs come in, and he said that that would always make his day better. But his family noticed on days when they didn't have therapy dogs, he would get sad. So they started a Facebook page where they've asked people to send in photos of their dogs. And it's called Photo Doggies for Anthony. And so far, more than 500,000 people have posted pics and sent well wishes to him and, you know, to try to make him feel better while he's still going through all this.
So the Facebook page, Photo Doggies
for Anthony.
All right.
It's very cute. They're, you know, if you're an animal person, it's very sweet knowing people are actually doing this. And
see, the photo doggies are so much better than the actual doggies because that way you don't get the drool and the slobber and the hair.
But
there are healing properties in those dog licks.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what they say. Well, I think that that's all a scam.
No, lower your blood pressure and everything.
No, that's put out there by the dog people to try and. My dad is a dog person, so.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All us crazies.
Dog people.
The dog people.
Yeah. Like Aaron. Aaron's a dog person.
I'm just animals.
Well, right. And we do have a picture of your bed on the show fun page, completely populated with cats.
Oh, and there is a dog on there, too. You just have to find her.
Yeah. It's like, where's Waldo? Mm-hmm.
There's also two squirrels, a ferret, and a possum, if you look closely. Yeah.
I would take a squirrel, especially if it talks like the chipmunks, if I could have one.
Talking squirrel.
I would love a talking squirrel.
Oh, right. Yes. We'll see if we can work on that. Anybody out there with a talking squirrel, please.
So how are you feeling? Do you feel healthy and happy with surrounded by all this dog, animal stuff?
Yeah, they brighten my day. Especially,
they do.
They
really?
Do.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes they drive me crazy too, but when you walk in the door and they're happy to see you, yes, it's very nice.
Nothing brings a smile to my face like stepping in a pile of cat vomit. I will tell you that right now.
Right.
Yeah, I did that the other night.
Right. See? How happy were you? Yeah.
By the way, we do have an email address. It's feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. And keep in mind that Gonzo Greg Spillane is a guest co-host. All right. A guest.
I live alone. I have no pets.
Aaron, we're all waiting for the day when we can stop relying on the driving sensibility of all the other people who are behind the wheel, because let's face it, the majority of people now just suck at driving.
Mm-hmm.
And when will the day come when the majority of cars will be driverless?
Well, it's getting closer. I don't know the exact day. I think they were saying like 2030 is when the Mercedes would like to be able to have this
on the
road.
About the time my kids will be trying to lobby to get me to turn in my driver's license?
Probably.
Yeah, all right.
Well, they just introduced a new concept car called the F015 Luxury in Motion, and it was unveiled at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. And they say you don't have to drive it. And it's very strange looking. It's wide and tall, and it kind of looks like a little lounge inside. So you can sit and talk to your friends, and I guess to actually communicate with the car, it can read gestures and eye movements, and, you know, there's touch screens. So
it has a personality?
I hope not.
Oh, wow.
If you make it mad, then it might just stop. I don't know.
Oh, I'm looking at a picture of it. Apparently, our web munchkins have been busy. There's a photo of it on our show fun page at Phil Hewlett.
Yeah, doesn't it look like Dr. Evil would be in there?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It also looks like it's just one big rolling blind spot. So it's a good thing it's driverless, right?
It drives itself.
Yeah. There's no way you could see, you know, what? Parallel park? Forget about it. All right, and something else on the show fun page, right next to the Mercedes driverless car, is something that will take probably decades for people to explain away. What is this creature on the side of the road in Arizona?
Sasquatch. That's what they're saying.
Come on, geez.
Everybody knows that in Arizona.
Yeah.
It's a pack of what looks like large animals on a roadway in Arizona. And I guess the Arizona Department of Transportation, they posted this photo on Facebook. And it's been getting a lot of responses from true believers and then others who are like, oh, my gosh, there's Sasquatch on the road. I can't drive.
Is Sasquatch plural for Sasquatch?
Sasquatches. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure on that one. We'll have to ask Bigfoot when we find him.
Yeah.
But apparently, you know,
smart, Chris.
people were getting so nervous, the Department of Transportation actually came out and said, we just kind of posted this to make you laugh or chuckle.
So it's bogus.
Well, they haven't said if it's bogus, but they just said it was meant more for fun, not to get people like crazy about Sasquatch.
Well, sorry, we're crazy about Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
We always have been. And, yep. And that was a great band in the 70s too, Greg, wasn't it?
I believe they used to play at the Troubadour. Back
Crazy
in the
About
day.
Sasquatch, yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad at all. All right, let's see where things stand with you. We're double-checking the roster. And, oh, yes, the silly idea that somehow the state of California will have enough money and time and expertise to build a bullet train from Los Angeles to San Francisco. And if we see it in our lifetime, I will buy somebody a beer. What's the latest status on this?
Well, I think by the time you're grandchildren are here, they'll be able to enjoy maybe the first 29-mile segment that's going to be in the Central Valley. So it'll transport you very rapidly between nowhere and nowhere,
from
I think.
Bakersfield to Fresno?
Something like that. Yeah, for the low value price of $68 billion.
Right.
For this bullet
And that's
train.
By today's estimates, because
today's
we don't know what tomorrow's money is going to cost us.
It's going to, tomorrow's money will be useless and worthless. But that is where they are at now with this whole ridiculous idea.
And you know what what irks me is that a guy like Elon Musk, you know, the guy that owns Tesla and SpaceX and right. other things, and who says, okay, I want to build this. And then, like, in a couple of weeks, he does. He has this idea to stick people in those tubes they have at Costco, you know, when they send the receipts up to the office.
Or, like, at the bank when you do the drive-up thing and it goes...
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, that sounds perfect. Pneumatic tube.
Right.
Yeah, and he could get you from Los Angeles to San Francisco in a half an hour with this idea. And he said, hey, look, I could build this for like $10, $15 million.
That'd
right.
be
this
fun.
Would take 3 hours on this train.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 3 hours. And so, I mean,
in the year 2050.
Yes. If they have a bar car, I'm in. But otherwise, I you know what?
I just want to get in the little bubble or whatever it is that Elon Musk wants to build. Let him build it. You know?
I'm not so excited about the tube, though. That just kind of freaks me out. I don't know. That freaks me out a lot.
You just take a Valium or whatever, and you get in the thing, and you're there in a half an hour.
It's so really... like Spock when they shoot him into space when he's dead, right? I mean, basically they put him in the torpedo and shoot him out.
Now, would you ride the bubble with Spock?
Well, that's a conversation for another show. Phil.
Yeah, why, yes, it is. You can find a podcast that's all about that, I think. All right, very good. Forget the bullet train. It's not happening in your time, but you're still paying for it regardless. And one thing that'll cost you a lot of money is to get yourself into Disneyland or one of the Disney theme parks there, Chris. You spend a fortune to get inside. But on one day, it was worth it to be in the park to see something that went down with one of the cast of characters. Is that right?
Yes. Anytime I see a viral video, I love these viral videos that go out there. And there's a character over at Disneyland here in Southern California that's gone viral a couple of times now. His name is Guston. Is that right? Guston?
Gaston.
Oh, Gaston.
It's French.
Who is he again?
He's from Beauty and the Beast. And he loved Belle or liked Belle and she...
He was the big oafish, you know, like by today's, he would be the jock.
Thank you, Aaron and Phil, for refreshing me on the Disney characters. Well, okay, so Gaston, he's in there in Disneyland, he's in his costume, and he's looking pretty beefy, and this young guy comes up, this young guy's in pretty good shape, but he starts poking at him.
Yeah.
And,
Gaston.
Mm-hmm. He's a beefcake. He's in this tight outfit. You know, he looks like somebody that you don't want to mess with. He tells Gaston.
Because he's French, huh?
This young man tells him he's the strongest man there, and Gaston takes umbrage with this, challenges him to a push-up contest right there, starts banging out push-ups with a crowd of onlookers and guffawing young ladies.
They were guffawing?
Guffawing. You know how young ladies guffaw. That's what they do.
Gastoning.
Yeah. Next thing you know, Guston, he's down there. He's wrecking this kid in the push-up contest with his speed and accuracy, so he's doing it so easily, he looks over at the young man and says, you look like you could use a hand, reaches out one hand and is pumping out these push-ups one-handed. Then the young ladies go from guffawing to ooing and awing, and by then the kid's wrecked. You know, it's like one of those contests at school where everybody just goes, you're done, you're cooked.
You got killed by a cartoon,
That's
it. So then the young guy tries to do a one-handed push-up, and he just ends up eating pavement.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I love it. And I love Gaston.
Gaston. How many different ways can you say Gaston?
Yeah, Gaston. Gaston. Well, go watch
the
movie.
Same thing happened to me when I went to Disneyland, but I got my ass beat by Goofy. It was
I was going to say Cinderella, but
and the funny thing was it was a tap dancing contest. So up next on the program, the FBI very well might be listening to all your phone conversations, your cell phone conversations, and they could care less what you have to say about your privacy. They think they could just do whatever it is that they do, and you can't do a darn thing about it. And Greg's going to tell you more about this invasion of your privacy next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil, Aaron, and Chris, and Gonzo, Greg Spillane are here today. And Greg,
I didn't do it.
No, nobody saw you do it either.
All right, okay.
But
just saying that for the sake of the FBI.
Yeah, the FBI is out there stealthily tapping into our cell phones somehow. This is what we understand. Explain to us a little more. What is it that they're up to?
Well, here's the thing. You guys remember the Crocodile Hunter, right?
Yes.
Sure.
That's a cranky.
That's not a knife.
Right.
Knife.
What killed the Crocodile Hunter?
Oh, a stingray.
Stingray.
Yeah.
Stingray. Yes, that's a word you need to know. Why? Because it was the coolest bicycle you could have when you were a kid in the 70s.
A Schwinn. Stingray.
Schwinn Stingray with a banana seat.
That's right.
Also, the Stingray is now this thing that the FBI uses to get into your cell phone. Mm-hmm. It's basically a fake cell phone site. So if you're around one of these Stingrays, your phone just goes to it because that's like the nearest cell phone tower, as near as it can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And so then all your stuff is now going through the FBI's cell tower.
Well, they only have like one or two of these in the world, right?
No, they have tons of them all over the place. And in fact, they put them in airplanes and fly them over the city and just pick up everybody's phone calls so that they can, you know, keep us safe.
In the event we are saying something that might
right, of course, because
compromise the public good.
Exactly.
And
because
safety.
I'm trying to order a pizza mm-hmm. or an escort or whatever it might be.
I hear your pizza's the bomb.
words right there.
Exactly. Then you've automatically set off some sort of trigger right there. But they believe they should be able to do this without any sort of warrant or, you know, wiretapping order or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
And this is being debated, I guess, in the Senate right now.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll have a couple of large sodas easy on the ISIS.
Yes, always. And something I've always said is easy on the ISIS.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good rule to live by.
Hey, is there any, I mean, are they're breaking some rules doing this, right? I mean, we have a legal leg to stand on, do we not?
Well, it hasn't been determined yet. The Obama administration is actually kind of still behind this, and they've always said that you have no right to privacy in public. But the fact that they're using an airplane to fly this over, you could be in your home and your cell phone.
What's the definition of my cell phone conversation? Is that a public event or is it a private event?
This is the endless debate right here. But right now, the FBI has issued a letter saying that we want to be in your phone and we want to listen to what you're saying and who knows what else they can do. We've already learned that pretty much the NSA knows everything that's in our phone at this point. So I'm pretty certain they are responsible for the Sony hack and all the nude celebrity photos that are out there.
Yeah, of course, because it's easy for them to get them and then leak them.
Right, exactly. So,
Plus, then you just throw up a flare, you know? You're not paying attention to what maybe the NSA or the administration's doing. You just throw up a flare of Jennifer Lawrence's cans. And
you're thinking like an agent. Yeah. Isn't he? He's thinking exactly like an agent. He knows how to do the head fake.
Hey, everybody, look over there.
Look. Shiny object.
He's the guy sitting over here who can't pronounce Gaston.
But he can think of this.
But he's, you know, he's under the table. He's getting all kinds of information off of us, and we had no idea. Double agent.
I think he has the more valuable information at this point.
Now,
really.
while we are all outraged that the FBI is breaching our private stuff, here's what matters. Girl Scouts have added 3 new cookies to their iconic lineup of flavors. So long New Year's resolution. We were talking about those in our first hour. The Girl Scouts want to fatten me up, and I'm going to let them. Here are the flavors. And frankly, I think I'm going to be fine because 2 of the new flavors are gluten-free. So, yeah, pass. Because gluten's tasty, right?
I love gluten.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it tasty?
More gluten for me, please.
And the third is filled with ingredients that sound so healthy. It'll make the cookies taste bad. I'm confident it will, but not healthy enough to actually make cookies a sensible part of a good diet. So here are the 3 flavors. Number 1, gluten-free trios. These are gluten-free peanut butter and chocolate chip cookies made from whole grain oats.
Yum. Mm.
You know those peanut butter-flavored oats that they grow out there in Iowa?
Right. You're right, yeah. The great, vast peanut butter oat farm.
And then there's gluten-free Toffee-tastic. These are butter cookies with little toffee bits.
That one sounds okay, actually. But,
sounds like something my grandparents would like.
Oh, but I call the butter and toffee into question because are those also made of some kind of gluten-free product, like whole grain oats or something?
Better not be, or I'm not eating it.
And then finally, there's rah-rah raisins.
Ugh.
These are basically oatmeal raisin cookies with a bad-sounding twist. They're made with whole grain oats, raisins, and Greek yogurt-flavored chunks.
Man, that is a... I was hoping you were going to say something like they mixed Reese's, Butterfinger, and Twix into a cookie and, you know...
Now, if they were smart, they wanted to increase sales.
What are the classic flavors, though? Because I am not a fan of the Girl Scout cookies. I've never participated
in them.
Nutter Boogers, or what are they called?
Nutter Boogers?
Yeah.
Those sound delicious.
Thin Mints.
Turtles. Turtles are good.
What are the caramel chocolate?
That's the turtle one with a little bit of coconut on top.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. I can eat the whole box of those.
Funsies?
Funsies.
They don't have those, do they?
Oreos.
They should all be called Fatsies.
Don't they have those?
Yeah. Right. So the Girl Scouts get the awesome cookies that everybody goes crazy for, right?
Yeah.
But they put the Boy Scouts, you get stuck out in front of the grocery store. What do you sell? You sell popcorn when you're a Boy Scout, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what?
Right.
Yeah, they make you sell popcorn, which by comparison, you're already doomed to fail. They've got delicious cookies, right?
Uh-huh.
And you're standing out there going, I got
with gluten-free butter.
You want to know how to raise money, and this is for you schools too, you PTAs and you booster clubs who at the elementary schools. You're trying to raise money. You want to know how to raise money? Don't put out those stupid catalogs with the gift wrap and the little curios and all of that. No. All right, fine. Go ahead and do that. But put together a catalog full of tools. And man stuff. Because guys don't buy the gift wrap. And you know what? Guys will drop a ton more money for a good cause. They'll spend the 20% extra over the top for a wrench.
You got a nice socket wrench right there.
For a good cause, right? You put tools out there, you will make 100-fold the money for your PTA than you would selling that stupid gift wrap.
I was going to say like the MILF bikini car wash or something.
Well, see, now you're talking.
Right. Sure.
Now you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
All right. See, you even got a standing ovation out of our executive producer, Mike Stark. But while we were talking about dieting and all of that and the Consumer Electronics Show and everything ties in together, Las Vegas, it's all part of the same story here. There's a French company called Emiota. They just introduced the first ever smart belt.
Cool.
The first ever smart belt. It automatically adjusts to your waist, like when you sit down or you eat a big meal. And when you gain or lose weight, you can keep on using it, but it also judges you. The belt sends data to an app, and if it notices your waist is getting larger, it starts shaming you about the weight that you're gaining.
You are wearing the belt of shame.
Oh. Yes, and it has a French accent. I hope it does.
That makes it even worse.
You have too much of the...
Mainly, it has the app send you notifications on your phone, not by having Siri call you a fatty, but... although that might be more effective, right? Especially if Siri had the French accent. Oh, can they do that, please? It also tracks how many steps you take, and it shakes if it notices you've been sitting too long. And if
well,
that
that's
wasn't
why we're going to break, right?
Maybe
if that wasn't
here.
Enough to avoid it, it's metal and it's ugly. But Emiota says they're partnering with a leather belt maker, so it'll probably end up being an expensive luxury product. The belt should be on sale toward the end of the year, and so you can go and get it.
All it's going to take is for one of these to malfunction and constrict a person's waist so bad it ruins their intestines or something.
Oh, can't wait for that.
Oh, jeez.
Somebody will say, chocolate bleu! Chocolate Girl Scout cookie! Hey, coming up, Las Vegas has been unseated as the number one travel destination. We will reveal which place is the new vacation king with our travel guy next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, it is Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil, Aaron, and Chris, and Gonzo Greg Spillane are here with us today. And the topic now turns to travel. And Greg, now you're a Las Vegas guy.
Yeah.
You've been in Las Vegas how long?
Oh, it's 5 years now.
5 years. And Vegas has topped the list as the number one travel destination for years.
Yeah, and see, this is important to me because when you're driving through the desert and you listen to that desert station on your way out here, I'm like, hey, call in and win the contest now. That's my bit now. That's my thing.
That's your thing?
Yeah,
oh, that's
Vegas,
you.
It's very important to me that.
All right, so I wonder if you could just give a guess or two what you think. What travel destination might have unseated Las Vegas as the number one?
I gotta go with Toledo.
Toledo?
It's just, there's so much in Toledo.
It's a park-like city, that's
sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Toledo, come on. Our travel guy, Gary Warner, is here. I'm not giving you any more shots at this, Greg. Gary.
I don't even know where Toledo is.
I'm guessing Toledo, Ohio is not the answer to the question, Gary.
I'm going to say Kansas.
Well, going to see the Mud Hens play minor league ball is awfully nice, but no. Toledo's a bathroom stop on the way to Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Bathroom stop.
Well, it's not Chicago.
Yeah. No.
Well, I want to let you guys know, first of all, that I'm not back at the house right now. I'm out at the Hidden House Coffee Shop in San Juan Capistrano in Los Rios. Any of you guys ever come down to Los Rios down here in San Juan Capistrano?
No. I mean, the last time I've been down there was just to visit some friends, and then prior to that it was to have a bunch of birds land on my head.
Yeah. Well, Los Rios is the area that's on the other side of the train tracks from the Mission, and it's the oldest ongoing community in California, and perhaps in at least the western United States. It's been around since the 18th century, and it grew up around the Mission. It's a great place, still has a lot of atmosphere out here, and the coffee shop here is run by ex-Marines, many of whom served in Afghanistan and Iraq, and when they got back, they decided to open up an espresso shop.
How about that?
It's painted yellow and has a Marine flag out front.
So. Is that over there, right there at the bridge at President's Way or whatever, the walkway to the...
Well, if you get off at the train station, it's right across.
Oh, okay.
Right across the way. You can't miss it.
All right. Very good. So the suspense is killing me. It's not Vegas anymore. What travel destination is at the top of the list now?
Well, it's about the opposite in terms of how things feel on your skin. According to this one travel trend survey, and you got to take all these things with a grain of salt because there's so many of them, but this one's interesting, by Travel Leaders Group, which is sort of a consortium of major travel agents that do high-end travel, it is Alaska.
Alaska?
That's
Alaska.
Crazy.
Which leapfrogged over the perennials, which were Las Vegas, which was always followed hot on its heels by Orlando.
Orlando, and then what? San Francisco, right?
No, actually. The other two big ones that rounded out are Maui and New York City.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And Alaska jumped over all of those. Well, Alaska is a big place. If they just drop you out of a plane, in the middle of that giant state, you just get lost and eaten by a polar bear, right?
Or yeah, Sasquatch. But it's a long way to go, and the season's pretty short. I don't know a lot of people other than some Northern Lights fanatics who go up there.
It would seem to be quite a bit more expensive, a lot more money to go to Alaska versus Vegas.
Definitely. I think it's more of a big ticket, one-time, maybe two-time trip. What I think is happening here is they are counting the cruise passengers.
Oh.
Among all these five destinations, none of them are a cruise destination. You can count Orlando and Maui, perhaps, as cruise points.
You just exterminated the whole concept for this segment.
That's my job. That's my job, is to take the travel advisors, the Yelps, the Travel and Leisure Best of the Year.
Are you
and
saying
show you how bogus?
You're
they are.
Saying that the premise for our whole conversation is indeed bogus.
That's right.
Wait, I thought it's really hard to get hot girls to your door in Alaska.
Yeah, right.
Well, they're hot if they're wrapped up well.
They're parkas.
In a snowmobile suit, sure, yes.
I mean, I love Alaska. I went up to the gates of the Arctic National Park, the least visited national park in the United States. Had to fly in for 3 hours on a float plane, and went out with a lady one day to pick berries, and she put a 38 long barrel in her basket. And I said, "What's she doing? What are you doing?" She said, "Well, bears like to eat berries too."
Oh, yeah.
So you know, you don't quite get that experience in Orlando.
So what goes to Alaska very well might stay in Alaska. Is that?
Yeah, but I want to know from you guys.
That's what the slogan is, right?
In the bear's stomach.
Let's look at these. You guys are all pretty big time travelers.
Oh yeah.
I mean, out of this group of five here, what's your choice? Where would you want to go?
Yeah, I think...
Let's do some reality testing here.
Right.
I'm going Hawaii. I'm absolutely Hawaii.
Well, yeah. There. I'd like to go again, but places that I have not yet been that I'd love to go to, I'd love to see New Zealand.
No, we're
That's
talking about
not
Big
on
five.
The list, Phil.
You can't go outside.
Big Five? Oh, you mean...
No, you can outside of the box.
New York, Orlando, and Vegas,
and Maui.
And Maui.
Maui.
I've been to New York like a dozen times. I've not been to Orlando. It sounds expensive because you're going to spend all the time at the theme parks. I think I'm going to skip Orlando altogether.
Yeah.
What was the other choice? Maui and Vegas.
Maui and Alaska.
And Alaska. I think between Maui and Alaska, I've been to Hawaii, so I'm going to Alaska.
There you go.
I'm going to Alaska, too, because I've always wanted to see a live filming of those goofballs on that show, Slednecks.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And you know, we know them already.
So. We're friends.
Close personal friends with
there's
them.
There's so much craziness up there. There's a middle-of-the-winter women's wood-chopping contest in which people gather their cars around in a big semicircle in Talkeetna, turn on the lights, and these women come out with chainsaws and battle to see who can make, you know, like a sculpture of a bear the fastest.
Women with chainsaws.
Okay, yeah,
I've just changed my mind.
Yeah. I'm all in on Alaska now.
And everybody sits in their cars, and applause is basically, you know, ring your lights, you know, pulling them, you know, back and forth, like, hey, you know.
Gonzo, flashing. You still have that VHS of women with chainsaws?
I do.
All right.
Yeah.
Are they in flannels?
Because Phil wants it back. That's why he's asking.
But I'll tell you, my choice out of all of these, I think, I love New York City, used to live there.
Yeah.
Maui. If you can get to the backside over by Hana and all that.
Get away from the stuff Oprah owns.
I love that. Because, unfortunately, I think the Maui that they are talking about here is the Kaanapali, Kihei area, which is it's a very nice area, but it's been over for about 20 years.
If I go back to Hawaii, again, I'm not staying in a hotel. I'm not going to a resort. I got to get a house on the beach somewhere.
Right.
I don't want people.
You give me a call.
When I go on vacation, I'm not into the people necessarily.
Yeah.
Unless I go into some small town. Let's say I go into a out of the way town in Finland or Australia, someplace like that. Then I need to meet the locals.
Right.
To get a flavor for where I'm visiting.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't want to hang out with a bunch of tourists. I want to meet the locals if I'm going
to
meet.
Well, Maui. I go to Maui and I count more Angels and Los Angeles Dodgers caps than anywhere in Southern California.
Yeah, right.
You know,
and
they
don't.
I'm always surprised at people at the pool. You know, you're from Torrance too.
Oh,
you know,
right.
It's like, what do you expect? You know.
Yeah, as long as they don't let the Raiders hats in there, then I'm.
Well,
okay.
Did everybody get a vote in there? Was there anybody who didn't get a vote?
Who didn't vote?
I think we all voted, right?
Who's the chicken?
I think so.
Yeah. No chicken. Okay, so out of our group, basically, we've got one Maui.
Yep.
We got one Alaska.
Uh huh.
Help me here, guys.
What else? Aaron, what did you say?
I said Maui, too.
She said Maui, two
Maui.
What did you say, Chris?
I said Alaska.
Two Alaska.
Alaska. Mm-hmm. So it's Alaska and Maui. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, and Vegas, you know, sitting back there, you know, Vegas actually dropped a fifth in the poll.
Really?
Now, that's interesting. That's interesting. Vegas is, we'll have to have a conversation one day just about Las Vegas and all the things that are going on there. They're coming out a little bit of the funk, but boy, that north end of the strip is in sad shape.
You know what? Gonzo Gregg is in Las Vegas right now. He's lived there for a while. And Greg, you can probably speak to the pendulum that's been swinging over there. There was a period of time when Las Vegas was making a big push to bring families in. Mm-hmm. And then they said, oh, screw it. And then they went back to one giant strip club. Right?
Right. What stays, what happens here stays here.
Yeah. And I think we're probably on the end of the swing of that part of the pendulum.
Well, Gary, you make a great point about the north end of the strip. I mean, I think they totally blew up the Stardust prematurely. So that's gone. There's a big empty space. They just now got the Sahara reopened as the, what is it, SLS. That's struggling to get some footing. They're mainly catering to the locals right now. So that's a little tough. Although the thing that's happening that's exciting here is the downtown that really nobody, when you come from out of town, you don't go visit Fremont Street. And I think people will now, and I think it's worth checking out. So
One of my favorite stories is that the Fremont, the Union Plaza Hotel was able to get all of the five-star bedding from the Fontainebleau, which was that big hotel they were building at the end of the north end of the strip.
Right, it's still kind of sitting
the
there.
The bankruptcy
as a big,
sale. They bought it all and basically put it in their hotel. So they have they're like a 3 to 4 star hotel with 5 star bedding.
I think
there's
still
a lot to see downtown that wasn't here before that is worth checking out.
I think people are still steamed over the fact that the guy from the Beverly Hillbillies was not allowed to build his casino there.
Which one?
It would have been the Beverly Hillbillies casino and hotel.
There are some weird, I've been to the Hooters one. I've been to the one that Debbie Reynolds had for years. It was in bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. It was so sad, Debbie Reynolds doing her show in her bankrupt casino. It's a weird place. The main thing that I'm seeing in Vegas is that they're going after the card club types, the people who will come and play the slots, the high percentage shots for the casino owners. This is especially sort of a Harrah's, Caesars sort of thing.
Still no better place for a convention, though, am I right?
Right. Oh, yeah. But they're not going after the whales like they used to.
Yeah.
You know, that whole whale sort of phenomenon that they try to play up in, what was the film, the Bachelor Party one?
The Hangover. Yeah.
Yeah, The Hangover. That's kind of on the wayside in those wild, penthouses and everything like that. It's more about just getting bodies there, 4 or 5 times a year.
Yeah. All right. Well, Gary, always great to talk with you. Gary Warner, he's our travel guy, and it sounds like Las Vegas probably still is at the top of the list because we were talking about nothing but bogosity here.
Yeah, if you put a vote out for your readers, I can tell you who would be number one, and that would be Vegas.
Sounds good. Thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Your listeners. I'm an old print guy.
Yeah, of course.
You don't have
readers. nobody reads anymore.
Greetings for losers.
Guys.
Yeah,
you have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. All right, there we go.
Thank
you. Thank you, Gonzo. Greetings for losers. All right, up next, there's a new, and this has officials in Colorado concerned, there's a new pot-related, marijuana-related injury that has all kinds of people concerned, and it actually involves little kids, and you'll want to hear what it is next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Yes, you are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we are pleased that you are doing so. Back in 2012, the voters in Colorado approved a law that allowed folks who live in that fair state to partake in marijuana recreationally. And ever since then, it's been downhill. No, there have been all sorts of things happening, and there are good things and there are bad things, but it's definitely an adjustment of perspective for the officials and the authorities and for the residents. And they're dealing with things, Chris, that they didn't used to have to deal with, the injuries, strange injuries related to pot smoking that are on the rise. Like what?
Well, I'll give you a few of them here. For one, the number of children treated annually for accidental consumption is up. And we're talking about children ages 3 to 7. So you can picture, like, maybe mom or dad leaves a candy bar out on the counter. They grab a chunk off the old Hershey's bar thinking that it's chocolate. And then the next thing you know, they're rolling on the floor having hallucinations.
Right. Oh, who wants that? It's just like the old movies they used to show in the 60s to scare the kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want that to happen.
Fear and loathing.
Madness.
Yeah. All right. What else?
All right.
What
so
else?
Then people are also being treated for burns by butane from hash oil production, which I don't know how you make hash oil, but
Like a big lighter and on a spoon, and is that what you do?
Butane torches are definitely involved with it, you know, and you got to melt it down, melt down the pot substance.
Are people burning their kids with that? Is that what's happening?
Hash.
Is it kids mainly that are getting burned?
No, but young people are also being, more young people are being treated for cannabis abuse. So, yesterday, Colorado announced a $4 million internet, TV, and radio public education campaign.
Oh, there's the scam. That's the scam right there. Okay.
Uh-huh. Properly teach people how to make a bong out of an apple without cutting yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
very important.
If we can't get the money into the state coffers for all of you lawbreakers, now that it's not against the law, we're going to get that money from you one way or another.
That's
and
right.
This is how we're going
to
do it.
And we'll put some people to work in TV. By the way, the number's quite low. You know, we talk about these alarming things like little kids eating pot candy, but the numbers for the entire year was like 13.
Oh, but that's up 400% from the previous
year. That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, it's up 1,400%.
No kidding.
Wow.
Well, I'm alarmed. All right. And so, Aaron, you've been looking into this as well. And so the authorities have just kind of had to reposition their presentation, haven't they?
Yes. Well, they were originally last year using marijuana education approach, which was for fear. And like I used like rats in a cage and said, don't be a lab rat, you know, and, you know, be responsible. Well, this year they've decided to do a bright and neighborly kind of approach to, you know, smoking marijuana and or whatever else you eat it. However, so this time it's, you know, showing park benches and people, you know, hanging out, and it says just don't smoke in public. And then there's another one that says don't drive, but you can walk, hop, and skip. So yeah,
you ever try to
like
hop
that.
And skip after a rolling a fatty?
See, they're gonna have some ankle sprains and things now.
Hi ho, Kermit the Frog here. Try not to smoke so much pot.
That will be next year's campaign.
Look at, there's the audition. We're sending that in to the Colorado Pot Commission.
By the way,
green, but
isn't hopping and skipping the only way to travel when you're stoned?
Probably, and while holding hands.
Right.
Yes.
I thought rolling was it's kind of like one shoulder to the next.
Well, see, I've seen a lot of people who smoke marijuana. They don't move at all. They just sit there.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't bother me with hopping and
skipping. Put a seatbelt on the couch. You'll be safe.
Yeah, right. An adjustable seatbelt. All right. So in Pittsburgh, Gonzo, Greg, Spillane, they're experimenting with something entirely different. And this has to do with restaurants and the food servers. What are they doing?
Well, this is kind of interesting, yeah, because, you know, here in Vegas, tipping, everything runs on tipping. But this place and a number of restaurants around the country are trying a situation where there's a no tipping policy. And in Pittsburgh, where this restaurant is trying it, the minimum wage, if you are a tipped employee, is $2.83 an hour. They can legally pay you $2.83 an hour to work there. Mm-hmm. But what they're trying to do is do away with that and pay their employees $35,000 a year and give them 500 chairs in the business, you know, that become viable after you're there for 3 months or something. So you're actually invested in the business.
Hmm.
So what they're doing is, yeah, giving them a decent salary and giving them benefits. And then there's no tipping. If you go to this restaurant and you think it's awesome and you still want a tip, they send your tip to a charitable like a cooking school or something like that.
No, I want it. is $35,000 a year in Pittsburgh a pretty good wage?
Well, I mean, it depends
like
on
middle
what
upper class.
I mean, what are you making tips, right? I mean, it could go. It's on the cusp, right?
Well, yeah, sure, but I mean, if you know what you're doing, you could come home with $200-$400 in tips on a regular night.
Well, see, there's the argument, though. I mean, so if you're a great server and you make great tips, obviously this isn't going to be something that appeals.
Now, here's my beef with tips. I mean, the restaurant thing has evolved, and I think it has to do probably with state and local governments getting involved and saying, here's how you have to treat your employees. You got to give them breaks and all that. You know, when you're having your dinner and the server comes up and says, well, I'm going on my break. Now, Patty is taking care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. And then she goes off. And what's happening is they're pooling their tips.
Well, yeah. But since that started happening, it's really – and since, you know, they started being, you know, taxable income, the tips are all pooled, it doesn't boil down to what a tip is, which was what, to ensure proper service?
Yes. Exactly. So the quality of service has diminished because the incentive has been taken away. So when everybody was an independent contractor and you got to keep your own tips and give some to the bartender, some to the hostess, and some to the DJ.
The busboy. I'm sorry. Wrong establishment.
No, the busboy, the one who picks up all the dishes. You know, you'd come away with a lot, and it would be in your best interest to be the absolute most attentive and accurate and cordial and empathetic and friendly server that you could possibly be, so that at the end of the night somebody buys a $20 meal, they're going to give you a $20 tip, and then they're not even going to think twice about it, and you do well, and they come back and they want you the next time they come to the establishment.
Right.
But that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The incentive is gone because of that system.
I also think, too, I've gone to a few restaurants recently where they are adding the tips now, so automatically.
Right. So all the incentive for good service mm-hmm. is gone. I might as well go into the kitchen and get my own food. I'm going to just start doing that. Tip myself, for goodness sakes.
What, your kitchen or the kitchen at the restaurant?
No, I'll just bring a bag of food from my place and sit down in their nice, you know, tucking diamond rolled leather seats.
Pull
whatever.
Your 24 ouncer out
Since
of your
I
coat.
Since I don't have a booth at my
a
house.
Flask.
Yeah. Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, we're at FAFShow. Facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our producer, Brooke Peterson, did backflips to make today's program happen. Our assistant in training is Richard Fairfield, Fryfield, that is. Our theme song, composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, Gonzo, Greg Spillane, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.